Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Hello. Mauricio, and your host, yeah, yeah. David Romero.
Take it away, Tomas.
Greetings to one and all. Welcome.
Salutations?
Oh, that's my other show.
Oh, okay.
You don't want me to go through all that. That's the other show. That's politics. This is sports, okay?
Yeah.
So here we are. Welcome to another podcast of the BS and Beer podcast. Hope you all missed us a little bit there. We've been off for a couple of weeks. But you know how it is. It's slow going right now. And so since my compatriots don't bother looking anything up, it wasn't worth me just being here by myself talking to myself I already know. But we have a few things we can discuss today and share with our listeners. And so I'm looking forward to it. As we're all munching on a watermelon popsicle.
Oh, and he said he didn't want one, which is he took
but he's wolfing it down. Yeah. You see that, huh? Yeah, I see that. I see that. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, we have a couple of interesting things that have happened.
What happened?
Well, we've got our number one defensive star, Cam Jordan,
has
signed an extension. So he's pretty much going to be a Saint until he decides he's done.
Yeah.
And it's actually not a bad deal at all for the Saints, and not a bad deal for him. Well, let's hope so anyway. Dave, what do you think about that?
I don't know if this is something that's been in the works for a while, but it came up on my feed, and I was like, oh, damn, Cam Jordan just got a big old contract. So, I mean, hefty, he's worth it. It was a surprise to me. There was a lot of offseason talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's not like nobody knew it was coming, but I really didn't think it was going to happen this offseason. I guess I would imagine that little pad we had, what, about $10 million?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they used a lot of that up on you know how they structure deals, though. It's going to be a lower contract number the first year and then
escalate.
Well,
they still got two more years left on the current contract.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's unusual for them to extend a guy, you know.
Well, I think the reason they extended was because they rewrote things to free up more cash.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who did that sign?
See?
Michael Thomas. They got to free it up for Michael Thomas.
They're freeing up the money for the next
worth it. I said, oh, damn. Like, I'm just, you know, it's always that next thing.
No, well, really, you know it's going to be a big check.
Well, you know, here's the thing. As I've been watching the signings of the 90-man roster, you know, the truth of the matter, and we've said this before, there aren't a lot of openings on this team anyway, okay? And so you're signing people out there that other teams are going, yeah, I don't think so. And this is just a 90-man roster deal, okay? They're going to sign people in and out. Today they announced they signed a couple of new people.
Yeah.
They signed another wide receiver, like we need a wide receiver. They signed another wide receiver by the name of Hansen and a linebacker that they were kind of high on as a possible, you know, Swiss Army blade on the defensive side. Hansen has been put on the reserve non-football injury.
Yeah, one Chase and one Chris. I forget which one is which.
Yeah, Chase is the linebacker and Chris is the running back. So, you know, okay. Now, the good signing that we had that is kind of raised my eyebrow was the defensive back that we signed. Now, the only thing about it is that he's been injured.
Yeah.
So, but he has experience. He played on the Denver team when they won a Super Bowl. He's played with the Texans. So, Webster is his name.
Yeah.
And so, it's interesting because I think they're going to have a lot of competition in the defensive backfield. Plus, you don't really know the situation with P-Rob. And you know for sure that peanut butter and jelly is going to be out for a little while. And who knows? Maybe they've had enough of him with all of his issues. I just don't know. But it's interesting that they've signed another defensive back.
Yeah. I mean, the Saints know things. It's funny how things start developing. And as we get closer to the season, you realize why a team signs this guy or that guy. It starts making you wonder about guys like P-Rob.
Yep.
They know that
or maybe Cam Meredith. the receiver we signed. This guy was a fourth-round draft pick or something. I mean, it wasn't like he's a UDFA or something. This was a drafted guy. So he might actually bring a little to the table. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be great, but they got
to
have other bodies. If nothing else is to be on the field. Meredith is obviously not going
to
be on the field.
You realize we have an hour to burn here, right? And he has already jumped right off of the defensive backfield into
Meredith. I can't wait to bash on Cam Meredith. This is one of my favorite things. But go ahead.
But P.J. Williams, he has a suspension coming.
And you don't know about P-Rob.
And as much as I –
You people hate my guy, so there you go.
Who's your guy?
Crawley.
Oh, well, yeah.
See? Okay. But
you have a rookie that everybody's high on that we got in the fourth round.
Yeah.
But
compo named
Gardner. Like we, me included, we love to – oh, the rookie. Man, you're talking about a Super Bowl roster, and I guarantee you the coaching staff's not like – well, we're not just going out there hoping that some rookie's going to step up and do what needs to be done to make things happen. So they go out and sign a guy with some experience and – and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm super excited about – but, you know, veterans bring something to the table that the coaches like. They understand what they're doing. They know their assignments. And, I mean, that's really all I could say because it wasn't like people beating down the door to get this guy.
Because he was injured.
Maybe, could be. But
he has a background with the Denver Broncos the year that they won the Super Bowl, and he played great in the playoffs. So
The Saints have a history of – taking flyers on guys with injury histories,
yes.
Trying to get a good deal.
Yes.
And, you know, listen, a lot of them don't work out.
No.
But if you don't invest a lot of money, who really cares? You bring him in.
Heath cares.
Tell us about how you care, Heath.
Care about what? I missed it. I
wasn't
injuries. Listening.
We sign people with injuries hoping and praying, but
oh,
your boy.
Yeah, well, it's a waste of time 99% of the time.
Yeah, but your boy.
My boy Meredith?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, I know. We wasted
6 minutes into the show, transitioned into.
Yeah, the only thing is he cost a little bit. You know, I mean, it wasn't huge money, but it wasn't chump change either. I mean, he cost a little bit of money. And
I don't see him making the team.
I don't either. It doesn't look to me like he's going to.
Because apparently the mini camps, he was non-participant.
Yeah, he didn't participate in the OTAs. He's first day of mini camp today. He didn't participate. It's like, you know, he's
it's a done deal.
Clearly,
I just don't see it.
Well, what if it comes out tomorrow? Just maybe he back stiffened up on him or something. And come out tomorrow and tear it up.
No.
Him and Bridgewater are going to have a connection. It's be like, oh, man, all the writers are going to be writing about it.
Apparently, Bridgewater has a connection with the kid from LSU who went to Rome. Cyril.
Oh, the fast kid.
Grayson. Cyril Grayson.
I brought it up. I can't even pronounce it. Is it? What's the LSU receiver?
Doral.
Doral. Is he even on
is
the team?
Is he still
anymore?
Around? Yeah.
Yeah, he's still on. Yeah. He's one of the 90. He won't make the team either.
So I don't hear no complaints about
that. Now, Rashard Matthews is another guy that might bear keeping an eye on. You know, he's a veteran that has shown a little something in the past. He might be able to step
in
there.
LSU fans complain that the Saints don't bring in LSU players. I mean, they got a guard now. They got two wide receivers.
Well, I think – look. The truth of the matter is that by the time the Saints have had an opportunity to choose, we have to remember where we've been finishing every year.
Right.
You know, we have one of the last five picks. Yeah. You know, one of the last four. And sometimes we don't have like last year, we had no first-round choice.
And no LSU players going that low.
And that's it. See, all those LSU guys are, top 10.
Top 10, yeah. Top 15 maybe on a bad year.
Yeah, I mean,
actually,
no
last
chance.
Year was a bad year for them. They had a bunch of guys that should have stayed in college. But
that's
anyway,
true.
that's another story.
That's true. But that's okay because since they didn't, they signed a whole bunch of kids, and the kids they had from last year, I don't know. Tigers could be tough this year in the SEC.
Oh, they're going to be.
You know?
Yeah.
Heath walked in the door. He didn't know it was going to be the same.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I'll tell you.
I've been on the LSU bandwagon for a couple of weeks now. Found a couple of really good YouTube channels.
Dave, don't you find this interesting?
What, that you love that watermelon
popsicle? I'm nursing it, man, because I'm on a diet.
Don't let it leak down your finger onto my table here. I'm just saying, you can. Okay, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry to interrupt you. He looks upset.
I was going to try to make a point.
What?
No biggie? Okay. No biggie.
No biggie.
Is that what it said?
All right. Yeah.
The point I was going to make was this. Will you recall that just last season, there was a member of our team that was upset with
the Tigers?
You know? He said he wasn't worth a crap, right? He was a terrible coach. He needs to go. Did you remember that?
Yeah.
Was it somebody?
I can't remember.
Was it Wesley?
Might have been Wesley.
No, I know who it was. It was me. I have absolutely no use for it.
Now, all of a sudden.
I think the LSU might be good this year. They were good last year, better than I expected, and I think they have a chance to be really good this year, but I still think it'll be in spite of Ogeron. All it'll be is that Ogeron learned from his experience at Ole Miss to basically get the hell out of the way and stand on the sideline, just be a cheerleader when they come off.
But wouldn't you say that the reason that the team is loaded for bear is because Coach O knows how to?
Well, there's no doubt the guy is a master recruiter, and he always has been. There's absolutely so long as he recruits and does a little rah rah on the sideline, gets them fired up. Clapping when they come off the side and everything, keeps that boom mic up here and not talking in it. Not talking in it where it should be, pointing straight up. He'll be fine and hire good people. He's got Aranda, you know, well, he's got Emsminger.
Go Tigers.
But it ties into the Saints because the new offense they're putting in, the guy from the Saints, Joe Brady, that went over to LSU, passing game coordinator now. He's teaching them how to run.
Brady's cousin?
Yeah, well, maybe so. I think he taught him everything he knows. And he's going to get Burrow to look like Tom Brady.
Wow, so every time he gets
professional
hit, he'll be
Tom Brady,
because
Tom Brady in college
late.
Really wasn't that good. But
no, he wasn't.
Anyway,
Michigan.
It's a whole other story. Anyway, so he's going to teach the Tigers how to spread it out and run some professional quality run play options.
I see. So it's all about the quarterback play now.
They rolled out a little bit of it in the spring game, and it looked pretty good.
Pretty good.
LSU's got a ton of receivers. That is amazing in and of itself that LSU can have about 8 really high-quality wide receivers always on a team that never has a quarterback. Like, how do you get these guys to come?
OBJ, Landry, all those guys.
All of them.
I mean, even the ones that aren't the greats, they still produce good, solid guys. I mean, we had a guy go in the second round. I mean, it's I say we, LSU, you heard guys go in the second round. Go Tigers. Yeah. but there's always talent.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe they'll turn it around this year and, you know, make it past Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of is a problem, right?
It's a problem. Well, it is. I mean, we certainly want them to get past Alabama, but LSU has a chance this year that they can lose to Alabama and still really they have that chance every year. But I think they're in a position this year that even if they, because they got to go to Alabama this year, so even if they come up short in Tuscaloosa, so long as they don't have any other slip-ups,
it'll be all right.
They could still make the playoff anyway.
Well, we'll see what happens. Now, you know, talking about quarterbacks, I just want to remind everyone that there's a competition going on the, I think it's the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken, where they're picking the best quarterback in the league and is doing it just by votes of the listening audience, of the watch, of the, you know, the audience.
Yeah.
And right now, it's Drew Brees versus Andrew Luck. So, if you're listening to the podcast, make sure and go and vote for... See, Dave raised his head just now.
Yeah. Who should we vote for?
Drew Brees. It was funny because they had Cam Jordan on, and they were grilling him about who he, you know, thinks is the best quarterback. He's like, what, you're kidding me, right? You're asking me that?
Yeah.
You know, we have a Hall of Famer. He goes, well, you know, I mean, you know, you got Tom Brady. He goes, Tom Brady? I'd like to see Tom Brady without Belichick.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but what happens to Drew without without Pete?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. And I was just talking to somebody about this recently. You know, Tom Brady was not the same at Michigan.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, I mean, was he a 6th-round draft pick or whatever? I mean, obviously nobody was that impressed.
He was the last 7th pick they had, yeah.
Whatever it was, okay? And so we always talk about system players and system. I mean, there might not be any more
of a system guy than
Tom Brady, right? I mean,
Well, and I'd say that, but remember, Drew Brees came to us from San Diego, and he was lighting it up in San Diego when he was there.
Not like here.
But he's still leading the team to the.
He played well. Yeah. So we don't have that chance, obviously, with Tom Brady because it looks like he's going to go from start to finish with.
Well, there was
some
other interesting comments made as well about Drew. A number of people have said that when they were talking about the rating these quarterbacks, that Drew pretty much sucked the last 6 games of the season, and that his statistics were just not there, and he just, you know, he was probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in the last 6 games. Now, when I said that, I was like, well, you're going a little far. I wouldn't say he was the worst quarterback or even a really bad quarterback.
No.
But it's obvious to me, and we talked a little bit about this, that there was something off.
Yeah.
There was something off with Drew in the last five, six games of the season. Didn't seem to have the same confidence level, perhaps, and didn't seem to have the same ability to put the ball where he wanted to have it.
He didn't have the same arm.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
So, and they were talking about who's capable of making all the throws.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the things we're talking about, you know, one of the shows that I was listening to, NFL podcast show, they were talking about that's a lie because there really isn't any quarterback that can make all the throws. And I was like, okay. And somebody said, well, what about Aaron Rodgers? And I was like, we can make a lot of the throws. I don't think he can make all the throws. And if you really start thinking about it, you know, you have great quarterbacks who can make almost all the throws. But to really be able to play and make all of the throws takes a really special player to be able to do that. That's like saying you got a pitcher who can throw every single pitch with accuracy every time he gets out there.
Yeah, see, okay, so as you're saying that and developing your point, I'm thinking to myself, what's the criteria?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, if there's no pressure.
That's going to be a subjective back, all the throws, right? Like, what does that mean? What are all the throws? You know?
Who's that guy we had? Doug Neusmeyer? No, let's go back to Buck.
Bobby Joe or Billy Joe? Which one?
Before him, Buck. Was it? Remember that kid we drafted? His name was Buck.
Mike Buck.
Mike Buck. Yeah, I know. Everybody's listening to podcasts. Their heads nodding off like, what the hell? There's a guy, and the Saints drafted him late in the draft, and he had a absolute cannon.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that he could probably make every show if they're throw if there's no pressure, no, you know, as long as you have a strong arm. So I just don't understand the point of what they're trying to make every throw. Then you said Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, okay, what, maybe he's not good at a swing pass because he throws it too hot. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, he's not great.
No, but I, may not be great, you know,
at the
right
15-yard out, but he's better than.
It's safe to say that there's no one quarterback that perfectly throws
every
pass that, you know, the flare pass, the cross the field, the deep out, you know, yeah, I mean, right. The guys,
exactly,
they,
yeah,
right, okay,
yeah, yeah.
So they may not be perfect at it.
Right, and that's why I brought it up, because just like you said, Dave, it's not something you can quantify.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that, it depends. Who's your receiver? How is your offensive line?
And at first I was saying, nah, but then I started thinking, okay, just because you're Aaron Rodgers, you made the point. You know, like, you might be able to make that tight throw on the 15-yard out with no problem. Maybe you're not the most accurate on a 15-yard in route where, you know, like, it's one of those more difficult, like, it's easier to throw to a spot when you're dealing with the middle of the field and leading a receiver with that pressure coming in your face. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's probably talking more about it than necessary, but it's just, I'm thinking about it, and at first I thought it was kind of silly, and now I'm like,
no, but it's tie it back into Drew Brees.
Right. And like I say, I mean, I think we all believe that Drew Brees is definitely a first-round Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
We all believe that Drew Brees is definitely, if he's not the top quarterback in the league over these years, he's certainly in the top five, you know? And the statistics, for a guy who didn't have a tight end, only had one receiver and one running back out of the backfield, again, set the record for the highest percentage of completions.
Yeah.
And was one of the top quarterbacks for long passes. We forget about this last year, he still had some of the longest passes in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, it's because the receiver ran after he got the ball, okay? But that's still a number, if they're going to go by statistics. Now, the other reason I brought this up, because I brought this up just for Dave, and I know Dave's not ready to hit that button, but I'm going to need you to hit a button pretty soon.
Oh, I got him ready.
You got him ready? Because today they reported.
Is it a donkey thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Today they reported. There you go. So today they reported.
Wait, hang on one more.
When we come back. Oh, boy. Is your lawmaker a donkey banger? It could be.
All right. There you go.
All right. Sorry.
All right. So today they reported that they've given Cam Newton the green light.
He's throwing, apparently.
He's throwing. Yeah. But it gets better. They said they give him a green light. He's healed up enough now to participate in the OTAs. And in all the spring camp, all the rest of the practices coming forward to the season, right? And get this now, he's got a completely new mechanic for throwing. They completely changed his mechanics.
Oh, really?
That might be interesting enough.
That's amazing.
To actually pull up ESPN or NFL.com
and
read it.
Well, when I heard this, right, I'm like, wait, hold on a second.
That's amazing that they were able to change a guy's mechanics while he's been rehabbing and hurt.
Well, that was what I
It's a miracle.
Well, okay. I mean, what if that means he's just kind of throwing with his, like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's about all it could be.
Okay.
Because you know his mechanics are what we've always talked about.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't use his lower body. It's all horrible. He does is throws that funny corkscrew kind of throw that he throws.
Off his back foot.
You know, which is the reason why he's torn up his shoulder.
Yeah, and absolutely. Any pitcher, football's a little bit different. Any pitcher or pitching coach will tell you, you throw with those mechanics, it's inevitable you can destroy your arm.
Yeah.
And so, and that's exactly what he's done. But it was interesting to hear the part about, well, we've completely changed his mechanics.
Yeah. How do you do that? How do you do that when you're not actually practicing
the play? This should really help his accuracy. I still see, oh, man, you know, the Panthers might be right in it. They might be a team. And I'm thinking, what are these people talking about? Tell me who their receivers are.
Yeah.
Right. The silence is deafening, right? Yeah.
Well, look, now they have invested.
They got more who they picked up last
right.
year.
And
okay,
they
young
the kid.
Kid
from the second. I'm not saying they're any good. They haven't done anything yet. It could
right.
be. Well, hell, LSU can get some productive receivers without a quarterback. I don't. But yeah. the point is, they invested in the position. You
the
know,
guy
God
they signed as their big receiver for this season is Hogan, who they got from the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's it. That's their big signing at receiver.
Well, and they still got Funchess, huh? Or is he gone?
He's gone.
No, he left. That's right. Yeah. So they're going to have.
Funchess is gone.
Yeah.
And the guy before him.
McCaffrey's going to have 174 receptions
that's
this
it.
Year. So it's
you got
over
McCaffrey.
That's about as far as he could throw
the,
it
the
right
now.
The
other kid that they picked up last just, year, right? And like I said, to me, I almost choked when I heard that. Man, he's changed his mechanics completely. He's going to be a much better quarterback.
McCaffrey's going to start running those 6-yard out routes instead of the 3-yard out routes.
Yeah, they could change his mechanics, all right? He's going to throw underhanded now.
Yeah. Right, that's got to be it. I mean, I just – maybe he's going left-handed.
That could be another mechanical thing he could go to. I mean, it might be better than him right-handed. We have to see. Yeah. But, no, you're absolutely right. How do you change your mechanics when you supposedly can't even lift
maybe
your arm?
Maybe he's just, you know, he's in a sling, but he's doing the footwork, and he's making him lean forward on that foot when he throws. You know,
that would
your
be
hips and lean forward.
You could get the torque. Get the torque from the hips. Gotcha.
Right, because he doesn't do any of that.
No.
No.
So I was like, well, that's an interesting take on that. And like I said, more interesting, I really thought that the operation that he had was similar to the one that Andrew Luck had, and Andrew Luck sat out a whole year.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was really expecting that the kid that they drafted from, was it West Virginia? Greer,
yeah.
Yeah. I figured he was going to get a lot of playing time this year because I didn't expect him to really be able to play. Now, we'll wait and see. I mean, it could be that he's all, you know, everybody's like, and then all of a sudden, like 4 games in, he can't throw the ball anymore.
Yeah.
You know, tore it up again or whatever.
He might pull a Kevin Durant.
Well, no, he might pull another Cam Newton, which is what he did last year.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd bring that. That's why I was talking about quarterbacks, because that came up today when I was listening to his other.
Yeah, I was the first one to start. Y'all called me crazy last season. I pretty much, to me, it started at the Dallas game. Drew Brees came out and. I say Drew Brees. Somebody in number 9 jersey came out in the Dallas game. I have no idea who that was and played. And from that point on, really, he didn't seem the same to me at all.
Yeah.
Well, from my perspective.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, from my perspective, of course, it's Drew Brees, since there was no indication of an injury. It wasn't like they pulled him off on a stretcher at halftime at some. You just know, well, it must have been a bad game. Or, boy, Dallas had our number that day. And then the next game comes, and it's like, well, those guys, boy, they got a good defense. So yeah, and then you start making excuses to the point the rest of the season.
But here's
on
the thing, man.
Everybody figured out our
they figured out
our offense
even more so than so right away. Everybody go, oh well, what he couldn't throw the deep ball as good anymore or whatever. Well, yeah, but to me it was more the decision making.
Yeah,
Drew Brees was making. He threw two balls in the same game. I don't remember if it was Dallas or not, but one got intercepted, the other one should have been. Where he literally did like the hot potato thing, dude. It's like he turned around, had to do it, and he just kind of chunked the ball, and literally one of them was intercepted, and then the other one, it looked like a carbon copy, but the guy just couldn't quite get his fingers under it and dropped it. And it was like, what was that? I mean, he literally just turned around and chunked the ball.
Well, and you wonder, okay, again, speculation. If he is injured and you see a guy coming and you got a sore shoulder or, you know, whatever – you might be a little quicker to get rid of that ball than when you're 100% healthy and you say, I'm going to take this shot.
Now, we do know the offensive line wasn't playing as well. We know pressure was coming up the middle because Unger was hurt, caused him to retire.
Walker was hurt.
That played a role, okay? I'm not saying it, but there definitely was something off.
Yes, yes. Well, and I think, again, yes, the offensive line was hurt. I also think that Dallas figured out, you know what, we just roll up on Kamara and Michael Thomas – and they got nobody else. And so they played a really good defensive game plan.
Dallas played well.
I might say, I don't buy into that because I just don't think it took an NFL, a league that long to figure out how to stop the Saints. Maybe Dallas had the personnel to actually execute
That's
it.
That's what
know?
I'm thinking. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Plus,
I'm
the offensive line was allowing more pressure.
Right, quicker pressure.
Oh, okay, so that sort of changed things.
Well, hell, what we're saying is
that was one of those games where you just say we ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
We went
yeah.
into Dallas and they wanted it. Yeah. They were out to prove they had been talked before that game.
Yep.
Dallas's defense wanted to come out and show something, and quite frankly, they wanted it more in that game, and they took it. That's basically what happened.
But I agree with you. I think from that point forward, there were a number of things that started to show. We didn't have, in my opinion, I think that Drew just didn't have the confidence in Traquan. He didn't have the confidence in Kirkwood. You know, and so all of a sudden, he's like, I only got one guy. I either have to hit Michael Thomas or I have to hit Kamara. Because I got no tight end. I got no slot receiver. I have no second receiver. All I got is one receiver, the number one receiver, and the number one running back. That's it.
Yeah.
And with the offensive line being beat up, then Ingram couldn't really break through the offensive line. And so we didn't really have much of a running game except Kamara, who's more elusive, and hit the outside. So you add all that stuff up. I think somewhere along the line, there's got to be an injury to Drew. Because it's not just a decision. You know, because the decision-making can also go along with, I can't make that throw now. You know? If I got a hit pointer, right. I can't turn that way over there.
Sure.
You know? Remember, he had at one point, he had the thing on your heel that I've had once.
Fasciitis?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis.
And so maybe he had that, you know, flip, because that flares up once you've got it. You know, who knows what injury was? Wasn't bad enough for him to sit on the bench, but it affected his throwing motion, affected his thinking of, I can't get the ball there fast enough.
Yeah.
So all of those things come into play. So anyway, so that's why I wanted to bring up the whole idea of these people talking about who's the best quarterback and whatever. So, all right, so that was part of the discussion I thought we'd have today. The other part of the discussion I thought we'd have today, sticking with the offense, I think that tight end-wise we're okay, running back-wise we're okay. It's still a receiver issue in my head. I think even offensive line-wise, yeah, we have enough parts in there to move around, and I'm going to throw this out there and see what you all think. I'm going to talk about offensive line before going there. What do you all think if Pete is not a starter at the beginning of the season? I'm thinking he won't be.
Why?
Because I think what they're going to do is they're going to put McCoy at center. I think they're going to put Easton at left guard.
Why?
Because I think he'll beat Pete out.
Okay. If you want to have a debate on whether or not you think that Easton could beat Pete out, I would say let's have the debate. But I don't think the Saints just say, go sit down. He's an established starter, making a crap
like
ton
eight,
of money.
Eight,
and he made
eight,
it
nine,
the last
eight,
year
eight,
his
eight
contract,
and a half million dollars.
And we don't have a backup left tackle.
Okay, I can see where you're formulating a thought.
Well, interestingly, today Easton was playing at right guard. The starting lineup was McCoy, Easton, Ramchak on the right. Pete and
Mr. Injury Prone.
No, wasn't Armstead. It was Newhouse.
Newhouse.
Yeah, was at left tackle today. That was the starting lineup they went with today. So,
well, they're just mixing stuff up, I'm thinking.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we know Easton's not going to take over for Warford on the right.
Well, like I said, that's why, you know, as I've been looking at things and thinking about it, okay. I just can't imagine that we're going to re-sign Pete. So this will be his last year.
I agree with that.
Oh, there's no doubt, yeah.
All right. Number two, we really don't have a dependable left tackle behind Armstead.
No.
Because when he got hurt, Pete would shift out to the outside.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, okay, less chance of him getting hurt if he's not starting. More opportunity that if we need a replacement at guard or tackle, we bring him in fresh off the bench.
I see the logic in it. I don't know that they're going to do that, A, just because of what they're paying him and all, but I also don't know that they would do that to a guy that's in the contract year. Even if they don't plan, or even if they're thinking right now we don't want him back.
But if he gets beat out?
Okay. To me, especially when you get on the offensive line, getting beat out is kind of subjective. So, I mean, he would this guy from Detroit, Easton, that's
– Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sorry, Minnesota, that's been a solid, if not spectacular, ball player. I just don't know how he would actually beat him out, and significantly enough for the Saints to say, we're going to mess with the chemistry on the left side. I do think it's an interesting thought. So I'm not trying
I brought it up.
I'm not poo-pooing on the idea completely. I just don't see how it would ever happen. I mean, because, boy, especially on the offensive line, you have to beat a guy out. If he, especially, I mean, look, he's established now. I mean, he's the left guard.
Yeah, I just, like I said, these guys, they're not going to want to sit a guy down. I mean, you sit Pete down this season, you're basically telling the rest of the NFL, we don't want him as a starter, and you probably don't either, because we just put him on the bench over an undrafted free agent who caught on in Minnesota and is here now. You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't see that happening.
I'm just bringing it up for discussion. Now, furthermore on the discussion of the offensive line, because I just remembered, one of our very loyal listeners sent me a note.
All right.
Sent it to all of us, actually, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, regarding the offensive line. Gave us some ideas. He said, you know what? Maybe we should think about the guard position.
Does this loyal listener have a name?
Yes. Well, see, now, my other show, I never say the name of the it's Gary.
Oh, Gary. Yeah, okay. Long time no see, Gary.
Yeah, my other show, I don't give the names out. Okay. So, okay. So he sent us
Yeah, that's because people might go kill that person. The shit you're talking about.
Or me or the other.
Or you, yeah.
Why I'm always armed.
They don't invest in that thick glass no more, do they? They just put you right there in the front office. No security, nothing.
Well, actually, I do it now out of my office.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
There you go. No problems, though. I always have Dirty Harry right there on top of the desk. But anyway, he mentioned that perhaps, you know, we had the current president went to Japan, and he was a guest at a big sumo wrestling match.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our friend Gary said, well, let me give you this possibility. What about if you pick up a couple of these sumo wrestlers?
It's a nugget to chew on.
And put them at guard. Because they're huge. You can't move them.
Yeah.
500 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're not going to have a pulling guard.
Won't be, get a lot of movement side to side.
No, but.
I don't know if we can afford the tariff on guys that big.
Well, that's.
It's Japanese. Maybe it's not China.
It's Chinese.
Not China.
We don't have that issue.
Yeah. As long as it's not Canadian, the exchange rate.
You're paying for
like a 700 pounder.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up as a sign.
Yeah.
Oi!
There you go.
But in any case, just something I thought I would bring up to you guys for just discussion and for people to think about. You know, there are a lot of puzzle parts for our offensive line. Will Cameron Tom make the team? Will Clapp make the team?
One of them's not.
Because both of those guys are centers first, guards second.
Let's assume that.
So is Easton, though.
Well, that's why I'm saying. You got
he can
three
play,
guys.
But you got three guys that played at
two
positions.
That,
yeah.
And the shortest guy is Will Clapp.
Did you know Tom was from Louisiana?
Yes.
I did not know that until the other day. I actually, look at me.
Oh, you found something up.
Yeah.
Where's Cyril from?
maybe somewhere in the Middle East or something. I don't know.
Rummel High School.
Memory. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the LSU kid. But yeah, Tom, he went to Mississippi, where he went to school, but he's from New Orleans.
Yeah, he went to Southern Miss.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we just have a lot of parts there. And, you know, of course, as they've done now in the past, we're going to have the 90-man roster to the last preseason
game.
Yeah,
we don't have all the cutdowns.
Yeah, there's no all the cutdowns.
One
so
at
we're going to be like, on that day, 17 offensive linemen are going to get cut.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, how many offensive linemen do we have? We're only going to keep 8, 9 maybe?
8
usually.
We have
to be carrying at least 15 at this point.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some offensive linemen. And just think about, how about the other teams? Is there some guy going to get cut someplace else that the Saints might look at and go,
Yeah.
So
probably.
It's going to be interesting. But I think there's so many puzzle parts for the offensive line that I'm really not worried about the offensive line. I'm more worried about wide receiver. Simply because I like my boy Kirkwood. I think Traquan will come around. And then we have Mike Thomas. But I don't see Cam Meredith making this team.
I don't think he's ever going to get back on the field.
And what about all these other guys? You know, what's the story? You know, all these guys that Dave likes.
Doral.
There you go.
And, and that other guy, and that one other dude too. Yeah. Now, who else do I like?
Sammy Cobbs.
Oh, old Sammy Cobbs.
So somebody tweeted out today that said that every conversation that Peyton has about wide receivers, he mentions Sammy Cobbs.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the same guy.
So I went and looked up a little bit. I mean, the guy's got, he's like 6'3", 220.
Well, yeah,
it's like
he's
a big dude. He's, yeah, you know, yeah, he's athletic and everything. It's, yeah, like if he could get it together or whatever. Now, he came in last year, and then what, he got
injured.
Hurt, huh?
Yeah,
so
he was injured.
I mean, it might be something there. I don't know, but we joke about it, but, you know,
just
who
don't
knows?
Know.
I don't
know. What's the other kid that we picked up and they never became anything at the slot position? I think it was name. But anyway, another guy that we picked up and he really didn't pan out of the slot.
Yeah.
No, but we definitely need. Yeah. I know that Ted Ginn thinks that he's the fastest receiver in NFL.
Huh.
He put up some grand, you know.
I saw that.
But a kid from Jesuit at Drake, okay, a high school kid said,
yeah,
I'll take you on. I'll get somebody to put up my 10 grand.
Wasn't there that kid from Texas, the White Flash or something?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
That's him. He goes to Jesuit Drake. That's in Dallas.
Yeah.
The White Chocolate Flash.
He set all kinds of records in Texas. He's like, yeah, he's really fast.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait, okay, so
I'd like to see him race, though. But I'd like to see Ted Ginn race against, what's the guy that we got from Atlanta, the Atlanta Braves? You know, the guy runs around.
Oh, dang it. I was going to say that. Yeah, yeah. The Flash. I like to meet him at the Braves,
yeah,
game.
Yeah, there you go. Ice? Something ice?
Was it, I don't know.
I thought it was the Flash or something. I don't know.
Flash.
Yeah, the one
it was something.
Or do you want to race the kid that the Flash raced that day?
No, I'm talking about the guy who
yeah,
has a unitard.
Yeah.
That was hilarious with the Falcon and the Patriot thing with the video. Yeah.
But, yes. No, hey, speaking of those, the one I still have,
yeah,
I don't spend
to 30.
A lot of time on Facebook, and I still have the one where they have the wrestlers and the Saints helmet.
And the referee,
helmet,
yeah.
The referee gets him and puts him in, boom, and drags him over to the Rams guy,
yeah,
and puts him on top.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the best. I mean, I still look at that and I can't help but laugh.
Now, talking about wrestling, since you brought wrestling up.
Oh, Lil Dice.
Now, it's from our friend Lil Dice. I was heartbroken because they had a wrestling match with two old guys who are unbelievable wrestlers. One guy who looks like Dave. Well, I always say that. Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Because he looks like, I'm telling you, Dave. Every time I say, like, man, that guy looks like Dave. Uh-huh. And
I have been looking
at it. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. And the guy who's the death guy. Well, anyway.
The death guy.
These two guys went at it. And from what I'm told, it was a pretty crappy wrestling match. And I'm talking about The Undertaker. Not the death guy.
The death guy.
The death guy.
Oh, yeah.
Undertaker.
I was going to make a joke, but I didn't want to alienate all the deaf listeners to the podcast.
What? What are you yelling about?
The Undertaker. Yeah.
Any of our deaf listeners, cover your ears for a minute.
There you go. Man, we in trouble now. We in trouble now, gentlemen. Oh,
all right. Move it on.
Well, at least it was between Goldberg and The Undertaker. Helen Keller wasn't around.
Jesus.
Even though some people thought that the ref was trained by Helen Keller. But in any case, Lil Dice. Now, you can't say, brother, that I don't cover some wrestling on this show.
There you go.
All right. So, but Goldberg does look like you.
Undertaker.
Not the Undertaker. There you go.
All right. Speaking of the Rams, did you see the... today I saw a way too early mock draft for 2020. And I don't even remember who they had the Saints picking, but the interesting part was they had the Saints drafting 29th. And so basically what they did was they used the Vegas Super Bowl odds.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Vegas basically has the final four teams the same as last year with the same two teams making the Super Bowl and the same winner. Because they had the Saints drafting 29th. The Chiefs 30th, the Rams 31st, and the Patriots 32nd.
Wow. Now, that's
and that's as far as I could get with. I don't even remember who the hell they had the Saints draft, and I was incensed that they had us at 29 again.
Well, that's kind of interesting because, you know, the Eagles just gave Wentz this big, huge contract.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me in the sense that, I mean, when he was on the field, he's really special.
Wentz.
And then I started hearing about injury problem. I'm like, you know, like there are certain things – Saints have players that just you put them on the field, and if it's not one thing, it's another. They are not physically designed to be football players. But there's another when you jumping in the end zone, some guy crushes your knee. That's not injury prone.
No.
So
no.
I think it's a good investment. I think that, you know, last year might have been a year where, you know, he's just trying to get himself back on the horse. And I expect the Eagles to be a good team.
And they brought in DeSean Jackson for him to throw to.
Right, right.
So, and, you know.
So, yeah, I think Wentz is a good player. Last year, I think, is, again, a recovery year. And I'm looking for the Eagles to be somebody that even the Saints have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, he was really good before that.
Now,
injury.
I don't know if it's going to be those same four teams. I kind of don't think so.
But, I don't either.
It never is.
You know, no.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll be interesting. There are a lot of people who think that the Saints won't be that. You know, the Saints will be lucky to be 9-7.
I don't know. Listen, it's hard to not be biased, obviously. But the thing about it, the Saints are just so young and talented. If we were an older team, then I'd say, well, you know, you lost this guy, you got another guy, but he's going to be okay, and you're just trying to find reasons. The Saints are just –
well, I mean, anybody that has it, what are they putting it on? Drew Brees? The Drew Brees is done?
Yep.
I mean, what else could you put it on? What else do you look at on this team and say, this, you're lucky if this is a 9-17?
What I've heard a couple people talk about is that the chemistry is different because you don't have Mark Ingram.
Oh, for God's sake.
And they think that Drew Brees is actually in his decline, that it wasn't just something else. Those last six games are really an indicator of what you're going to expect this next year.
Yeah, what was the record in those last six games, by the way?
5-1, wasn't it?
So, I mean, Drew Brees in decline is still way better than 9-7.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm only bringing this
come
up.
On, no, I just Christ, okay? Man, look. If somebody said, "Look, my issue isn't with Tomas. My issue is with anybody out there who's going to seriously look me in the face and try to say that they don't think the Saints are better than 9-7."
I listen to everything when I'm at the gym.
I'm not
morning,
saying you didn't hear so it. What I'm saying is that's yes, ridiculous. Well, whoever said it, you're a retard.
I agree. You know, because even as we say, Drew Brees wasn't the Drew Brees that we know. He won the majority of those last games. If he comes out and does the same thing, we're at least 10-6, 11-5.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think we're a better team.
If Drew Brees is off his game, we don't get a blown call away from the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, give me a break. 9-7.
But I'm just saying to you, a lot of people are thinking that Philadelphia will be one of the top teams.
Look,
they thought so last year, too. We handled them twice.
But because they think that Wentz is now healthy.
I think that this is just the time of year where we all know that the teams that make the playoffs, generally speaking, not many of them make the playoffs again the following year.
Right.
There's a huge turnover in playoff teams. And it has a lot to do with the way the schedule's set up, that the best teams so have to play the harder schedule.
Right, right.
The thing about it is, I guess if you were trying to play devil's advocate, the Saints have some low-hanging fruit with Drew Brees being older and trying to pick apart the last game of the season. That's all I can justify.
Yeah.
These people are just trying to – look, it's a dead part of the season. It's hard to do this show. Not for you. I admit.
Had the Saints gone 1-5 over the last six games last year and wound up limping in at 10-6 or 9, I'd go, I'd be feeling a whole lot different. But considering how to –
And wasn't it just a few years ago?
You jump into conclusions way too far at that point.
How many years now in a row has Drew Brees set statistical records? Most completion. You know, the percentages are always there.
Yeah, and until the Dallas game last year, he was on a clip to break more of them,
You know what I saw today?
You know, every once in a while, like I've known, I know this to be true all along, but then you just see something presented in a certain way and you just like – they were going through the NFC South. They were ranking the quarterbacks in the NFC South. Obviously, they had Drew Brees first. They had Matt Ryan. They had Cam Jordan and then Jameis Winston. And a guy says, and, you know, it's really good. This might be the best division overall as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And he's like, I mean, you got two MVP winners in this. And it hit me at that moment. I'm looking at this list, and we have two MVP winning quarterbacks in this division, and Drew Brees is not one of them.
Exactly.
Like, how in the
exactly
does that happen?
Exactly.
That's a great
right, and we know this. We've talked about it before, but it's like it just smacks you in the face when somebody puts it in a certain context. It's just like, are you kidding? Like, nobody would ever guess that if they didn't in a million years, right? You just know that Drew Brees had to be one of them.
Well, you remember that last year when we were talking about this, we said, well, okay, so the previous year they said – it was because it was all those yards and not the complete. than his last year. Oh, no, because he didn't have the same yards that Mahomes had. So they can't make up their mind, it seems like. Or it could just be, you know, look, let's be serious about this. The Saints are a small market team. And so, you know, they look at the bigger market teams. Like right now, I'll give you another one. Then we talk about quarterbacks apparently on this show. You know, Eli Manning. You know, I love Archie. I love Peyton. Eli, I wouldn't spit on him if he was on fire. Okay. Sorry.
Because he can't throw a ball as well as you'd like him to. You can let that man burn up.
No, because I don't like his attitude. Okay.
Okay. Well, it has personal, nothing to do with this. Okay.
You know, when he came out of school, he had a good arm. It's his attitude. I just don't like his attitude. Okay. All right. Be that as it may, the Giants went out and drafted in the first round a quarterback. Now, you tell me.
That's a whole other discussion, but yeah, go ahead.
You know, so you tell me, do you believe that Eli Manning is going to be the starting quarterback the entire season for the Giants?
No, I don't think he will.
I don't think so either. Yet, how many times was Eli Manning MVP?
I don't remember, was he?
Yep.
He was Super Bowl
MVP. Super Bowl MVP, and one time he was, if I'm not mistaken, one time he was league MVP.
Was he?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not one to remember that kind of stuff.
I don't remember that.
If it wasn't a Saint, I'm like, whatever, another guy won it.
My point is that there are a lot of NFL quarterbacks that have been named MVP of the league or MVP of their team, but they're from big New York. It's a big market.
Yeah.
Okay. Philly, big market. Chicago, big market. You know?
That's the one last thing, though, that's hanging out there for all of the people who don't think Drew Brees is.
Yes.
And there's a few.
He doesn't get it this year.
And it's like, well, that's the first thing they can throw out. Yes. When people go, well, how do you think Drew Brees is not a Hall of Fame? Well, he ain't never won an MVP.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well.
They can't hold.
It just so happened that for the bulk of his career when he was really good, he also had a guy named Peyton Manning playing, and there was a guy named Aaron Rodgers in the league, and there was a guy named, you know. Now, I mean, let's be honest, Drew Brees is not in the best years of his career at this point. And that's when Cam Newton came along a year, well, it was 2 years ago, I guess, when he won this, you know. And honestly, I don't know if I agreed with that anyway, but.
Well, and then again, you know, there is a rationale behind the choosing of Cam Newton because they wanted a certain quarterback to represent the NFL. And so that was part of it. You know, it's not that Cam Newton can't. Again, I go to Cam Newton, I give the same issue that I have with Eli Manning. It's an attitude issue. You know?
Yeah.
The guy can throw the ball, he's got a cannon for an arm, fantastic. But the attitude sucks. And I will never let him off the hook for the game they played in a Super Bowl that they should have won had he just jumped on the damn fumble.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like a sissy boy, he didn't. Well, I'm sorry. I cannot allow you to think that you're world great MVP when you didn't do that. You sold out to your teammates. It's not enough that you didn't do it. You know, your teammates didn't get it.
Yeah.
That award should be stricken from the record.
Absolutely.
Taken back off his mantle.
Absolutely.
Everybody that knows anything knows that the 1 year though, Drew Brees, they gave Peyton his seventh or whatever ridiculous amount it was, that Drew Brees should have got it that 1 year, legitimately.
So we'll see. So now we'll get back to the discussion of the wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot about that. We kind of got off
track. Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about wide receivers. So what do you think about the wide receiver pool? Do you think that?
I personally, I think that we will have an improved receiving staff. Obviously, we have a fantastic player in Thomas.
I think he'll be Hall of Fame if he keeps up the same pace.
I mean, that's to be seen. If he keeps the same pace, I think it's pretty much a given.
Depending on how long he plays with Drew, he'll be a big part of it.
You have some other young receivers who, in my mind, I'm not saying they even have to be great. They just have to do well enough to take the pressure off of Thomas. I think also with the tight end, it's going to make more opportunities for the receivers. I think that we're in good shape. I will say that the Cameron Meredith thing is disappointing to me. I, you know, just my nature, I'm not ready to write him off until he's not ready to play in training camp. Because we've had guys in the past that didn't play or didn't, you know, had issues in off season, and then they get to training camp and things work out. But I can also list a long list of people who got the training camp. What's that one running back we had that scored that long touchdown against Dallas? Is like the only play. Buffalo. My point is
Speller.
That guy, the entire offseason, he didn't do anything. It was up in in Wisconsin. This was West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And then rumors and this and that, and they've got a picture on the internet of him at, you know.
Was it West Virginia?
Sitting at a bar. Yeah, sitting at a bar. I'm pretty sure. Sitting at a bar, and somebody got a picture of his knee, and he's in bandages and crutches. And then come the season, it just never materialized. And there's been a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, history kind of almost tells me that this is not good. And my nature tells me to be more optimistic.
Now, right now, I'm not counting on Meredith at all.
Either.
Just in case you didn't know.
No, yeah, we didn't.
He's strong, not your guy. You know, yeah, I don't think
a
whole lot.
He passed on him now.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. He didn't do that much in Chicago. It's not like this is a guy that, yeah, he had one season. And that season, it wasn't like he had 100-plus catches and 1,500 yards.
He was just a solid receiver.
Yeah, he was a solid receiver, okay? But, you know, Michael Thomas, we know. Cook is going to help a lot at tight end, okay? I read an article. Basically, they were talking about Traquan, and they were saying that he said his head was swimming for a big part of the season.
He didn't know the book.
You know, he didn't know the book.
Irony of that is that he played his best football
He had the 10-yard. Well, it's probably that he was thinking more and more as he went along trying to become. Right. He felt pressure more
right,
likely.
It could be the coaches, too, saying,
you know,
okay,
yeah, all right, kid, you know, let's go. And you know, but, I mean, he had a 10-catch, 170-yard game or whatever it was. And all. I mean, we've seen the glimpses.
Yes. Yeah.
So now if he can just quit thinking and get out there and do it, you know, there's no reason not to think he can't take a step forward.
Yeah,
got to remember, Ginn was hurt last year. We were missing Ginn. I mean, I know he's getting older, flat out old.
But apparently he can
run. There's no indication at this point that he can't get out there and still fly. He's going to help. The time that he missed takes up a little chunk of you know, of probably, yeah, I mean, a significant chunk of what we're talking about.
Half the season.
So, Kurt Wood showed some promise.
He did, yeah.
I mean, he really did. We got some other guys. We got some rookies coming in. I don't know if this kid from Texas, he's big. If he can get off of the ball quick enough in the slot and go across with that big body, he might be able to. He don't have any speed at all.
Well, he had to beat out Simi Cobbs in order to do that.
Well, you know, yeah. And that's going to be a tall order. You know,
quite a coach.
Yeah. So you know, you got Simi Cobbs. You got Rashard Matthews. We'll see what he. You know, he's shown something in the league before. We'll see if he's got anything left, if he can put it together.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I think that, you know, again, just like the offensive line, we have a lot of puzzle parts.
I mean, would I like to have something more guaranteed there? Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine that they can't improve on what they did last year, and last year wasn't that horrible.
I think when you're talking about Traquan and Kirkwood, I think that Kirkwood came on later because he wasn't swimming. But I think Traquan started, he had like three or four plays that he really knew, and that's when he took off. And then suddenly he had to think about a lot of things, and then he got messed up. He didn't know where he was supposed to stand, line. Remember how many times Drew would say, no, out that way. No, over on this side of it.
Yeah.
So I think his confidence.
We saw a few times where him and another receiver were in the same spot at the same.
Exactly.
You know whose fault it was.
Exactly.
It wasn't the other guy. It was probably him.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And
so I think that if he can actually has a good grasp on the book now and get his confidence back, and Drew have confidence in him, I think between those three, Michael Thomas, Kirkwood, and Traquan Smith, I think right there you got a good series of receivers. Add Cook in there. Now you got a tight end who can catch. You know, I think the defenses have to be a little more honest in playing Michael Thomas, which I believe will open the door even more up for Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, there's that one other guy that people haven't been talking about, but what's the story on Dez Bryant?
Yeah, well, that's almost another possibility.
I almost asked you that question. I didn't want to sound like I didn't know anything, so I'm glad you asked, because I'm like, is he...
He's been working out.
I haven't seen anything.
He's been working out. He's been shopping himself around big time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wasn't he doing that at the beginning of last year before he was injured?
Right.
Yeah, but he you know, and then this year he said he made some tweets early on about reuniting with the Saints, but then after that he started tweeting out at other, you know, like he was really,
hey Broncos, I see you.
Yeah,
I see you.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he was basically
Raiders,
lobbying for. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah. I think that his best chance is still going to be a 1-year contract like he did last year with the Saints to prove himself.
And I think the Saints would be willing to sign that same 1-year contract.
Well, I mean.
So, but that would be another part of the puzzle.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, look, I contend that if he was, if he didn't get hurt, the Saints win the Super Bowl. Not because he's great, just because he's a good, solid player that could have
won. The Saints should have won the Super Bowl anyway.
Anyway. But, look, maybe we beat the Rams by, another touchdown.
Right, had we just lost that game and not on a blown call, and I'd go, yeah, well, maybe this one guy could have made enough of a difference. But we should have been there anyway.
Again, I'm making the point that, like, maybe we didn't even need to be in that position for a blown call. I'm just simply saying, not because I think Dez Bryant is still a great player. I just mean the Saints were so void of playmakers on offense that another veteran receiver that can catch the ball and still had a little gas in the tank would have been just enough to say, hey, we'll squeeze.
And like Michael Thomas, he's a perfect kind of receiver for Drew Brees at this point in his career.
He's a physical guy that catches the ball in traffic.
That's right. So there you have sort of a, we've kind of touched on a lot of places there. Didn't necessarily get to what I think to be the weakest part of our team. I think it's not offense and defense. I think it's special teams. Hmm. And I think that the Saints picked that out. That's why they let go of everybody who was coaching special teams and brought in a whole new crowd. This statistic is the one that sticks out. When's the last time the Saints ran back a punt for a touchdown?
Oh, return game, yeah. But we had the best coverage unit in the NFL last year.
Yes, yes, yes. But coach, today...
And actually, we didn't get a touchdown. Nobody's run one back, but kickoff returns.
The
real Hill. Yeah.
The Mormon Missile.
Yeah, he was. Was he tied for first in the
somewhere?
Right. He was up high up there,
in the yardages, average return
yards.
Yeah, yeah. But I brought this up.
Punt return is the Achilles heel. Yeah. I mean, we literally don't have anybody that can even reliably catch the ball, much less.
Right, and this is why I brought this up because. Today, the Saints.
How do you have 32 teams in NFL and you can't find one guy that you can at least say he'll catch the ball back there?
Just catch it every time. At least we know we'll catch it.
I mean, guy on the team, and we didn't like that. Bird was the guy, remember, he was always back there. The only thing he ever did.
Yeah, for $22 million a year.
That's all he did.
Catch the ball for you. Can't do nothing else. Yeah. But he will not drop that ball.
We got the two guys now, right? We signed the one guy.
Jarrell's the Minnesota. Was it Minnesota?
Yeah. Okay.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the all-time leading returner, or the all-time, whatever he was.
And I don't. Who's the other guy you're thinking about?
The kid from college. That's the all-time.
Oh yes, yes, collegiate, yes, 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 yes. Yes. Little guy.
The kid from Assumption.
Assumption. Yeah, I can't think of his name now. Yeah. But today they signed another guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Get ready now.
When you sign a guy's in mid-season.
All right. Hold on now.
Yeah.
This guy is one of the top athletes in his sport. Except his
probably,
sports,
probably
not football.
Probably made football, right.
Okay.
The track star.
No. He plays for the New Orleans rugby team.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
New Orleans has a rugby team?
Yes. And so, go on, dude.
Is that the one where they run out there in a white coat, lab coat? And
no,
they
it's
stick
not,
their fingers out.
Not Morgan's the Magnificent, but okay, that's
no,
all right.
No, all right. And, oh, they have a top hat, too. Didn't they? Y'all remember that? It was on ESPN when I was a kid. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No,
with
I have
sport?
No idea what you're talking about.
Are you serious?
In soccer?
No, it wasn't soccer.
I mean, rugby?
It's actually not rugby. It was like Australian rules football.
Oh, all right.
And the dude has like a lab coat on and like a black hat, and then he scores, and he just walks out, and one time he'll stick one finger out and point, or... two fingers out and point.
I don't remember that.
I don't either. It must have been some period of time where you were doing drugs.
Maybe. Maybe it was it could have been an illusion or a hallucination.
Hallucination.
Yes.
I don't know. You're much younger than me. I don't know. Did they still have the little stamps that you licked back in that time?
I used to work for a wedding planner. Now it's all starting to come together.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it. Y'all, hey, listen out there. Listening, you sent us an email or Twitter, if you know what I'm talking about. And
by the way, don't we have a phone number where people can call?
No,
we don't. I'm sorry.
We will once the season starts.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. We have a Twitter account though.
The number you have called has been temporarily
no longer in service.
Disconnected.
Yeah. No longer in service.
So get on YouTube. If you find that, hook it up to our Twitter. Mine is Saints BS.
Tomas 19.
Tomas. Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he
got nothing BS.
Yes. And we have a contest who can find the best Australian rules.
All right.
Or you got to get the one finger point and then the two finger point.
All right, so I'm just telling you, the Saints signed today the New Orleans Saints Gold. That's the name of the rugby team. They signed this kid, Tristan Blewett. B-L-E-W-E-T-T. He blew it. And so he is a member of that New Orleans franchise, the Gold. And so, therefore, he had a private workout with the Saints, and they signed him.
All right.
22 years old from South Africa. He was invited to the minicamp. Begins on Tuesday, ends on Thursday. He's 5'10", 191. He plays outside center and wing in rugby. But the skill sets for position he plays in rugby look most likely to translate to those of a running back, a slot receiver, a safety, gunner, or kickoff and punt return.
That's a lot of positions that translate from rugby, yeah.
Here's what Peyton had to say. We're in that talent procurement profession. So you're searching everywhere you can for someone with the right vision. I looked at a rugby player not too long ago on film. We're not opposed to putting the film on and looking. I think that's part of evaluating. There you go. He's leaving no stone unturned.
There you go.
So there's the whole idea of who knows? I mean, stranger things. Wasn't there a guy who made it as a punter this last year for some team who was a rugby star? I want to say there was some guy, because he was kicking a ball, like he'd run to the side and then he'd kick the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're getting a lot of that in college now and all.
So
LSU's had three or four consecutive Australian punters or whatever.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if this kid can actually catch the ball. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, I think that most of the guys you have that have been signed on now, their way to make this team is special teams. That's it. You know? We have to have certain players on special teams. We talked about this last year. It's not going to be big waddling linemen anymore. It's going to be the fast defensive backs and the linebackers that are going to take up that squad. So I'm hopeful that we'll continue to have excellence in coverage and just add a few things and maybe get an extra 5 or 10 yards on a punt return can make a world of difference. So did you find the guy's name?
I wasn't looking for his name.
Yeah, 10 yards would lead the league in punt returns. I mean, it's not a lot of yards as it is anyway.
But if we got something, you know, I think that it would make a big difference.
Okay. So go ahead. I found this and I put it on my Twitter. And if y'all didn't know, look at that. I know video translates good. Up, oh! Oh, wait, there's more. Wait. Yeah, get the flag out. Now, that right there is how you score. That's entertaining.
He didn't have a top hat on.
What do you call that? That's more like a fedora? Is that what it's called? Okay. I was a child. I remember to have a monocle and a top hat.
That's
Mr. Peanut.
Never mind. Mr. Planter, you know? The Planter's Peanut Man. Hey, oh, my God.
I put it on my Twitter. Y'all look at it. This is good when he's kind of, I don't want to get in the way.
He does like a whole act.
And then they must teach him that in Australian Rose football school. They go, gets all stiff and waka. What's up?
He gets all stiff and what was it that he does?
Thank God you didn't, you know, y'all don't have that visual that we did.
Bring back the VCast.
Ooh, man, that's tough. Well, I think we've brought us up to date with most of what's going on.
And other things.
And some other things. We have, there's going to be kind of a dead period after this little 3-day camp. After that, there's like 2 weeks of nothing. So I'm guessing we'll probably take a little break ourselves and then come back when things are better, when Dave's feeling it.
We have been working pretty hard, I tell you what. So We need a break.
I'm ready for that, you know, vacation paycheck.
Paycheck? You know, that's why, kind of like school teachers, we during the season, we don't get our full check.
Is that how it works?
Spread it out through the whole summer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you got bills to pay, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's why I do that.
Yeah. Well, luckily I'm in real estate, so I can pay my bills.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so do you have anything else over there, Mr. Heath?
No.
Are we wrapping it up here? Any more thoughts?
I'm sure there is, but I don't know. I can't think of anything.
How the hell we managed to do an hour?
I have no idea.
Is that an hour?
Hour and 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we got to cut it off here. People are going to fall asleep.
Well, I'm trying to wrap it up.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm trying to do my job here now. So, Dave, you got anything else to say?
No, man. Thank you.
You're done?
Everything.
All right. Well, you know.
Participation.
All right. Well, I'm hoping I'm getting that participation trophy. We don't keep score. But anyway, my friends, we thank you so much for listening to our little podcast here. We enjoy meeting with you and speaking with you. And again, just hit us up on our Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like us to talk about, drop us a little note.
Our email, bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Well, that's still working?
Oh, yeah. That
one's working. All right. Well, there you go.
We didn't disconnect
that. Didn't get disconnected. So you can either email us or you can send us a tweet about what you'd like us to talk about on the next show. Maybe if you have a question about some player that we don't know of, we'll have to look them up. Now, that's okay. No problem.
We can read about them to you on the internet.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So for Heath Elsonson.
Yes.
For the bald-headed Dave, who looks like Goldberg.
Goldberg. I have been working out.
Romero is his last name. Not to be confused with the Romero who played on Batman.
Oh, I'm Batman. I don't know what you're talking about. Caesar Romero?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I didn't know he played Batman, but.
You know, he didn't play Batman. He was a villain on the Batman show on TV.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You are running up the minutes. You know my service provider, they charge us about anything over
and me, Tomas Mauricio. We want to thank you for listening to BS and Beer Podcast, where we're all about the Saints. Oop. All the time.
All the time. All Saints all day.
All right, my friends. Have a good one. We'll see you when we see you.
Next time.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back. And that's the way it is.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
I heard it's the number one place for Saints football news. How convenient.
Thanks, Dave.